Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We got to talk about the New York Knicks, who, man, oh, man, what a game, what an atmosphere. I mean, this was edge of your seat, just excitement the entire game. And before we get into all of it, you got to just admit, right? And I know there's going to be a lot of Knick haters or whatever, like, oh, it's just hard to beat the Pistons. I am uber impressed with how the Pistons played this game and how tough they are and the smothering defense and the feistiness and the physicality that this series has been played with. It has been an incredible watch. And thankfully, the Knicks came out on top 118 to 116. And ultimately, a couple of things. One, it felt like almost immediately. And you knew it had to continue throughout the game because we saw Karl-Anthony Towns score points early on and then kind of disappear late in the game. But it felt like almost immediately, as I was screaming about this head coach and I was screaming about the adjustments that need to be made, it felt like almost immediately all of the issues of game two, the Knicks came out and tried to address. Like, the rebounding was such an issue, and right from the jump, you could tell the emphasis on getting on the boards. And they are still out-rebound in this game, 43-40, but you could tell right away the emphasis on that, and then clearly spreading the ball, getting the ball not only to Karl-Anthony Towns, but OG Anunoby, who early on in this game, I think he had 18 first-half points. Like, right away, a lot of the ills of game two, it felt like the adjustments were made and they were getting the ball to Cat at the elbow. They were getting open looks for OG, and he was also creating his own shot throughout the game. Much more of a, Brunson has 9 assists in this game, and it just felt like they played a much cleaner, much crisper, where they dictated the action of so much of this game. And yes, it was physical, and they were after each other. And there was a couple of fights, and Karl-Anthony Towns was in the middle of it. And again, I think Karl-Anthony Towns, the way he played down the stretch, the three-pointers he hit early on in this game, as they got out to an early lead, it evaporated quickly. They ended up tying the game at 20 after a six-point possession and a foul on a three-pointer that was deemed to be taken to the next level, and they got the ball as well, and they hit all three three-pointers, and then Hardaway hit a three after hitting all three threes, and he all three three-pointers, free throws rather, I'm sorry, and Hardaway early in this game was 5 for 5 at one point from behind the arc. He ends up finishing 7 for 12, but there were still some issues with leaving too many open threes. The defense early on was struggling, but ultimately, Jalen Brunson in crunch time or clutch time, however you want to put it, had a couple of drives to the basket late in this game. But Karl-Anthony Towns is the story of this game for me. And the offense and the ball movement and running the offense through Karl-Anthony Towns at times, OG Anunoby allowing to start creating offense of his own and not just standing around the perimeter waiting for threes. Now, he did take eight threes in this game. Mikal Bridges shot 3 of 6 from downtown. The Knicks, another story in this game, 26 of 29 from the free throw, and that's including the missed shot on purpose, which the end of this game obviously got crazy. If you didn't see, they almost had one of the worst endings to a Knick playoff game that you've ever seen at the foul line, where at the end of the game, with a two-point lead after a miracle couple of threes, the Knicks should have blown this game out way earlier than they did, but made bad decisions. A tip ball on a jump ball that went right to Beasley for an open three at the end of the game to get it within a couple of points. But at the end, with Jalen Brunson at the foul line and a two-point lead, the Knicks decide to try and miss the free throw on purpose with 0.5 seconds left, with the understanding of even if they get the rebound, there's no way they could throw the ball half court. That's better than hitting the shot, allowing them to get an out-of-bounds play where they could throw the ball down the court and, you know, maybe make a miraculous catch and turn and shoot. But ultimately, the Knicks do come away with it after, on the missed foul shot, the clock went off immediately. And instead of letting the 5 seconds run once the ball is touched, the 5 seconds run right off the miss. And inexplicably, and I guess this is the rule, I had never heard this rule, but in a situation like that, they just gave the ball to the Pistons without any clock running off the without any time running off the clock, and the Pistons had an opportunity to inbound the ball and take a shot. And now, because of the missed free throw, the Knicks were only up two. There was a moment there. I mean, this was to the bitter end. Up until the final seconds of this game, the Knicks were battling with the Pistons, and the Pistons never backed down. Every time it felt like, both ways, every time it felt like the Pistons worked their way back to a tie game, the Knicks would go on a run. And every time the Knicks went on a run and took it up, I think they were up as much as 15 in this game. But anytime they got it back to 10, they go into half up 13, playing a really crisp first half. And in the second half, it's immediately a run from the Pistons. They get it down to 3 points. And you feel like the momentum's completely changed. And then the Knicks would go on a run. And really, Karl-Anthony Towns hit every different kind of shot you could hit. He hit the classic Ewing shot there with a couple minutes left, where he kind of turned his on the baseline, turned his back to the basket, and pulled a fadeaway on the baseline. He was hitting uncomfortable shots. He was getting to the foul line. He hit 4 threes in this game. Karl-Anthony Towns, after all the talk of the last couple of days of being soft and not wanting to be involved and just standing on the perimeter, Karl-Anthony Towns, from the beginning of this game, made it a point to be a force. And now the question is, can he do it consistently? But last night, I thought Karl-Anthony Towns, I thought the head coach, I thought even Brunson, with some of the slings and arrows that were coming his way after playing hero ball and having the offense be stagnant and just playing through him, I thought a lot of people answered a lot of questions, but specifically Karl-Anthony Towns, who drops 31 points in this game. He has a big block. He has 2 blocks in this game, a huge block down the stretch. He has 8 rebounds, 7 for 7 from the line. The Knicks were great from the free throw line. But to me, the storyline of this game was the offensive game plan was so much better, and Karl-Anthony Towns was running the offense for a while and being successful. And they don't, and here's the other thing about the Knicks, right? And I understand if you're concerned about it's so hard to fight the Pistons and how are they going to beat the Celtics. The Knicks that we have not called, right? Last year's team was tougher. Last year's team was grittier. Last year's team was more cohesive. Last year's team had better chemistry. Last year's team had each other's backs. Well, the one thing I'll say is they have not backed down an inch from the Pistons. The Pistons have attempted to make this a physical series. The Pistons have gotten in their face. The Pistons have really played an excellent series in every way. Like I killed the Knicks after game two, and I'd love, you know, I would not tell you different if I felt like this is a miserable showing from the Knicks, who are getting, you know, outclassed by a lesser team, and or, you know, these games shouldn't even be this close. The Pistons have played an incredible series. Like, even in this game, Cunningham was, you know, he ends up with 24 points. He wasn't as good as he was in game two, but you could just, what he's able to do, getting to the basket, hitting easy mid-range shots, 2 for 5 from 3, But, I mean, they have Hardaway going off. He's 5-for-5 at one point, 7-of-12 in this game from downtown. Dennis Schroeder, I mean, what can you say? He plays 30 minutes in this game. He scores 18 points. They are playing smothering defense. You can't even screen. The Knicks are having a tough time setting screens with how on the ball these defenders are from the Detroit Pistons. I mean, Paul Reed steps into a role as the backup center and plays extremely well. Beasley, who really couldn't find a shot in this game, still incorporates himself. I mean, Tobias Harris, again, you know, was struggling in this game, but still defensively, like, and physicality-wise, like, they have really played an incredible series. And every time they need a big shot, they get it. Every time they need a basket, they seem to get it. And even down the stretch of this game, you have the fans in Detroit leaving the building. And I'll be the first to tell you, I started to feel sick to my stomach when the fans in Detroit started leaving the building. It felt like Miami, San Antonio. It felt like something crazy is going to happen, and we're going to be showing clips of the Piston fans leaving the building as they pulled this miraculous game out of their ass and find a way to beat the Knicks. Because, I mean, this game was just back and forth, and Karl Anthony Towns, to me, is the story of this game, as he was last week in Game 2, or earlier in last game in Game 2. He was nowhere to be found in the second half of Game 2. And from the jump of this game, it was clear that that wasn't the Karl Anthony Towns who was going to be playing for the Knicks last night. Game 3 was going to be a different story. Now, the question is, can he keep it up a whole series? Now, I never saw Wilt Chamberlain play, and I'm certainly not going to tell you that Karl Anthony Towns is as a dominant or good a player as Wilt Chamberlain was, but that was the MO. I watch all these documentaries. I see all this stuff. He would disappear at games. Game 7 against the Knicks, he disappeared. Like, Karl Anthony Towns kind of right now is that up and down. At times he can be dominant, and within a series, within games, he can disappear. They need the Karl Anthony Towns they got last night every minute of this entire series. And if they're lucky enough to get through, which I think they will, every minute of every game against the Boston Celtics. Because we've seen him hit uncomfortable shots. We've seen him hit off-balance shots. We've seen him get to the basket. He's got incredible touch for someone his size. We know he's 4-for-8 from downtown. He's 7-for-7 from the free throw line. He's got to be aggressive. He's got to get to the line. He's got to take his shot. The offense needs to go through him at times. I mean, we saw Cameron Payne play a better role in this game. Come in, play tight defense, hit a couple of big shots. Like, I just thought, and Mitchell Robinson, too. I mean, the defense he brings, you could feel the difference with Mitch on the floor. He has a couple of putbacks with the dunks. His rebounding skills, you could sense it. Like, he brings a lot when he's on the floor, and he only played 16 minutes in this game. But ultimately, they did enough defensively, and the offensive game plan, and down the stretch, Captain Clutch, again, he takes over these games. He got two possessions in a row to build the lead up to 9. He goes straight to the basket. I mean, and his ability to finish around the basket, even at his size, is remarkable. And you got just enough offense from OG early on in the game. I thought Bridges hit a couple of big shots down the stretch. And at any moment, they can go to Karl Anthony Towns to be a dominant force. But this is, I mean, the atmosphere in that building was really incredible. It was really incredible. And the physicality, and again, the referees are interesting because it felt like they allowed a lot more to be played in the first half and then tightened the whistle a little bit in the second half. But still, the physicality that is allowed in this series and the defense that is being played in this series from really both teams, but the Pistons are all over you. They don't give you an inch, man. This is a much harder series than I think anyone would have expected it to be. And not just because the Knicks didn't play well in Game 2, and not just because, you know, the Knicks aren't up, you know, living up to their end of the bargain as a 50-win team. The Detroit Pistons are playing really good basketball. They are playing hard-nosed, tough, physical, never-say-die, and extremely tough defensive basketball. But again, Karl Anthony Towns, everything we needed to see in response to game two, coming into game three in the hostile building, they come out and gut out to an early lead. Carl Anthony Towns clearly is involved from the jump. OG Anunoby is much more involved in the offense. Like, it's fine if you're going to have the last few minutes be Jalen Brunson. It can't be the entire second half. And they did benefit from really playing with the lead. There was that brief moment in the first half where the Pistons took a four-point lead. But for the most part, the Knicks were playing ahead this entire game, which I think is it's much easier to play ahead against the Pistons than to play behind with the defense they're playing. So I think playing from ahead is a huge point that the Knicks need to continue. But that's why it's good to get OG Anunoby involved early offensively. It's good to get Bridges involved early offensively. Carl Anthony Towns, obviously. But they made enough plays down the stretch. They hit enough big shots. And they avoided what would have been an absolute debacle the final few minutes. And I know we're going to get, you know, hung up on that decision. I know the draft has kind of overshadowed that moment. That was like right around, you know, that end of the game. You're dealing with the draft. I got in my car. The trade's announced in the car. I'm frustrated. But, I mean, to end a game like that, I've never seen that before. And to have the clock table decide, I mean, that's pretty much what happened. I mean, in that moment, and again, I feel differently. I know I was just talking about it with Marco Alex Fliegelman, how he feels about it. To me, in that moment, half a second left, 0.5 seconds left, you're up 2 points, you've sunk the first free throw. You got the second free throw coming. I understand if you miss it, and Breen was all over it from the jump. Breen wanted that shot missed immediately. And apparently, you couldn't tell exactly on the television, but Brunson's like looking for confirmation from the coach, and he wasn't getting it. But I understand you miss it. It's a rebound and a chuck. It's almost impossible, where if you make it, you get the long inbound possibility and a much better look, theoretically. But I'm sorry. I don't know. If I hit the shot, I'm up three and I can't lose. I know if you miss the shot 99 times out of 100, it's a rebound and a chuck and you win the game. But they were in a position, because they missed that free throw, where I'm holding my heart in my hand, because there's a chance they could lose the freaking game on a miracle three. If I can go up 3 points, I'm going up 3 points. I know I'm probably different than most, certainly different than Breen and different than the Knicks, because they chose to miss it. And it took a weird clock rule to change that. But to me, I don't like the idea of a miracle shot hanging in the balance where I lose the game. I understand that you could theoretically give up a better look, but even if I give up that better look, if it goes in, I'm tied. I don't know. Where do you stand on that, Fleegs? You miss the foul shot every time?
So normally I agree with you that I'm doing whatever it takes to make it so that I cannot lose.
Yeah.
But because of the amount of time.
Yeah, I know.
Like, if there's 1 second on the clock, I even say make the free throw.
Yeah.
But in 0.5 of a second,
yeah,
if the clock doesn't get messed up by the hometown scoreboard operator,
yeah,
who Cat joked afterwards, you know, gave his team a chance.
I know. Amazing that's how. I mean, I wonder if teams are going to, I mean, the circumstance, that exact circumstance coming up seems highly unlikely.
And listen, it probably was a mistake on
no
the
doubt.
Guy's part.
Yeah, no doubt.
But if the ball hits the rim, to grab the rebound, turn and shoot, like, I don't think you can get a real shot off.
Yeah.
Not a good, in 0.5 of a second. We know it takes 0.3 to catch and shoot. So because of that fact, I'm okay with it. Again, probably 1 second where you might be able to grab the ball, turn and shoot, I would say make the free throw. But a 0.5 of a second, it took the score or the timekeeper messing up and a fluky rule that none of us knew how you would execute that.
Well, I mean, I you know, at the end of the game,
and we don't even now know if they got it right.
I have no idea.
Like, I know Zach Zarba explained Jalen Brunson in the backcourt and how that was, they got it right, his momentum was taking him, so the fans in Detroit can scream all they want. The refs got the call there. I haven't seen any explanation on the timing rule at the end.
Yeah.
Like, when Breen said, well, obviously they can't let him retake the free throw, I was sitting at home thinking, well, why not?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because
if the timekeeper messed up, don't you kind of have to redo everything? Ended up being no.
I never thought they
would. None of us knew what
the heck
they were going to do.
I know Breen said it immediately, right? But I would have never thought they'd allow the free throw again. Like, how do you do that?
And they're also, well, I thought maybe they would, because then they're allowing him on the sideline. Alan Hahn points out on the replay, it taking 1, 2, 3 steps before him. I mean, that was almost, he almost got to half court. If that's a good pass, like,
right.
That easily could have been a nightmare scenario.
No doubt. And you were joking before. You said to me, we wouldn't have even been talking the NFL draft.
I don't think it would have come up once.
We would have just been talking about how the Knicks lost an all-time game.
And we'd be blaming, hey, you know, the free throw not, but it would have, again, it seems so wrong that what happened was allowed to happen.
Yeah.
That the Pistons get the ball on the sideline, not underneath.
No, I know.
And then the inbounder, I forget who, it was Durant, can take three steps towards the basket.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, I know. That was a weird situation. These are the moments I need to be better of, like, focusing in, because I can't get past just being a fan, and I'm like, I'm barely even with it with my head.
I remember thinking, thank you, J.D. Bickerstaff, for putting a big man in there to throw that inbounds pass.
I know.
And not one of you guys who probably knows how to deliver a good pass.
I know. That's true. That was a bad... And for a second there, they had no one on the inbounder. And I'm like, what are you doing? You got to have somebody on the inbound. You got to make it a difficult pass. And then thankfully, Mitchell Robinson came running over. I was like, oh, thank God. I was like, the last thing we need is another Christian Laettner. But like, but then anything happens. I don't know. He gets fouled on the inbound. Now he's shooting two foul shots. Like,
well, and they said, like, Hahn was like, listen, you can't foul, but you have to defend.
But you have to defend. I mean, it was just, oh,
that time, I mean, that would have been something that we talked about here in New York forever.
I know. And then
especially if the Knicks would go on to lose the series.
Yeah. And then what else annoyed me too, in the situation where the only thing you can't do is give up a three-pointer. To me, I didn't go back and rewatch it because I was like, I needed the game to end so I could drive here. But it looked like on the jump ball that Bridges bats it forward. Like, why would you bat it forward to the three-point line to give Beasley an easy look at the three? I don't care if it goes in. Bat it back towards the rim. Why are you pushing it forward to give it to them outside the three-point line? Like, so many different things happened to make that game not a laugher at the end. And I don't know about you, but I was saying, as the fans are leaving the building, I'm thinking, oh, good God. That it sets up. Part of me was like, Alan Hahn was saying? Like, this... You guys haven't played a playoff game. This team has been remarkable in this series. What a great year. You were the worst team in the NBA 2 years ago, and you're leaving this playoff game. I'm thinking the stories of, oh, man, I can't believe I wasn't there when they had this miraculous win.
I was thinking even before the whole thing happened with the free throw. That happened, I had that worst thought in my mind of, like, the fans are leaving.
Yep.
Just everything narratively was setting up for this is going to be an all-time sports moment.
Yep.
Everybody, even if they think the Knicks got robbed, like, every NBA fan, basketball fan would be laughing about it forever.
Ever.
It happened at the expense of New York.
Uh-huh.
It would be funny, and it would be something that just, I mean, ruined us for who knows how long.
I don't know if I would have been able to talk about anything else. You're right. I would have been so annoyed if they lost that game. But it just feels like old school Knicks playoff basketball. Like, this is extremely fun to watch. The atmosphere in that building, and I like it better as the road team. I got to be honest. We all love the Garden. Don't get me wrong. I love watching games in Madison Square Garden. The atmosphere there is crazy. I'm not saying this atmosphere was better, but there's something about going on the road and, you know, your team, you know your team's in this hostile environment. And the way that the whole thing started with a bunch of chippiness and, pushing. And, like, there was even one point, was it Beasley who has the basket and then points directly in OG's face? Like, it just felt like...
Yeah, after the dunk.
After the dunk, right, yeah. I mean, it just felt like it feels like war, man. This series, it's a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be. I still think the Knicks are going to win. But as much as you could say, well, if it's this tough against the Pistons, how are you going to even... I'm not even thinking about the next series. This is fun. I mean, the Knicks really... You take the Philadelphia series last year and this series this year... At least, and I know this isn't what we're looking for, but we are getting some pretty friggin' excellent, exciting playoff basketball that we can really sink our teeth into. I mean,
that was objectively a great NBA playoff game.
No doubt. It was, I mean, so far, I've, I'm driving in, I'm watching the highlights mainly, so I can't be 100% in this, but I think last year you could argue the best playoff series in the entire postseason last year was was Knicks 76ers. And I think the toughest, hard-fought, most entertaining series so far has been the Knicks and Pistons. I mean, these games are unbelievable. Every game is a dogfight. Every game is to the last minute. And I think Karl-Anthony Towns did himself a real... I think he answered a lot of questions. Now, he's got to do it more, obviously. It is the Pistons. It's only game three. He's got to turn around and do it again for game four. But I really felt like he showed his toughness. He showed his accountability. They ran the offense through him. He was hitting big shots and fadeaway shots and three-pointers, like, and hitting every foul shot. I was really impressed with Karl-Anthony Towns.